Recording real quickly. Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine, and this is Thursday, February 9th, 2017, and it's the 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday afternoon PSS call, or for some of you on the call, it's Friday morning, so we'll be try to be respectful of your morning. And today we're going to talk about acknowledgement and validation. But I want to start by doing a quick check-in and figure out where people are and either have a little celebration or check-in from what you committed to last week, whatever works for you. So, and Amy and I were just starting to talk before other people joined us. So, Amy, why don't you start with where you were just going? We're talking about what you tried to go back and capture from last week because it was a really powerful call last week.
Oh, so, yeah, just trying to still transcribe that one section. Talking about, you know, judging and kind of giving moral value and how our kids can use it to push our buttons and as a distraction. I have a question for you. What is collaxing?
Mm-hmm. Collaxing?
Yeah, you used that word a couple times.
I used something wrong. Coalescing?
Maybe that's what it should be. I'm not
I
sure.
I don't know the word, so I don't think coalescing is a word. I must have just not spoken clearly. But if you tell me where it is in the recording, I'll go listen and tell you.
Okay. I'll email it to you.
Okay, perfect.
Cool.
So where are you this week from last week? Last week you said you were going to call your mom and apologize for being a bitchy teen.
Yes, which I did, and she laughed and said it's okay.
Good. So you followed through on your commitment. That's good.
Yes.
So what are you celebrating this week?
The taking it less personally is having a big impact.
Really? Tell me more.
Probably more. Yeah, I remember it when I need to. And so that's been pretty awesome. Not perfect all the time, but good, better.
So is there a message that's going on in your head? Is there something that you're using to remember it? Or it just had that kind of impact? It just landed?
Yeah, I think it just landed. Yeah, because I'm catching myself and I don't know. It's just when a behavior needs to be corrected, it's much easier. I don't feel like it's my fault.
Because it's not about you, right?
That it didn't happen. Yeah, that I let it happen, which is where my head used to go.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So what are you celebrating?
I had just, I don't know, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Well, you can celebrate that it's not my fault. you know, that's big.
Yeah, it is. It's really big.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Who else wants to celebrate or sort of give us an update from last couple weeks?
I can go.
This is Maya.
So I actually missed a call last week, and I was trying to read about it in my binder. But anyway, I guess I'll catch up with that.
I will say that we had a really powerful call the last time we met. So if you get a chance to listen to that Thursday 3 p.m. call, whatever was 2 weeks ago, it really was, I think everybody would agree, we all left kind of going, wow, that was just such a great conversation. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to it.
Oh, and that's on the website there?
Yeah, it's recorded. The recorded call from whatever that is. Okay. And Vilma, I see that you're here, so we're just doing check-ins now. We'll get to you in a minute.
Yes, okay.
So for the acknowledging and validating, that's something that we've actually been working on this week, so it's really good that that's your topic. My son, I've been trying to get him to be more proactive with his teachers, and he's in ninth grade in high school, and he's in a really big high school. And so he just doesn't really feel comfortable, I think, going up to the teachers when he doesn't understand an assignment, or you know, we get something that shows like his grades and his missing assignments, and I show him that like twice a week. Usually I have to email the teacher and say, you know, he did do this. A lot of times he does do the assignments, but he doesn't put his name on them, or he forgets to hand them in. They're actually in his binder, but he hasn't handed them in. So I told him all that, and, you know, he got a D in Spanish in his first semester, and that was, I think that was, you know, he was upset about that, and he shouldn't have. It was all, like, missing assignments. A lot of it was the F in homework. So anyway, he did, we looked at it, the semester just started, and we looked at it again.
Okay, I'm going to remind you, I'm going to interrupt you for a second and just remind you to try to bottom line a little bit. Because it sounds like
bottom line,
you're engaging him in advocacy, and?
Yes, he did go talk to his teacher, and he showed her the missing assignment, and now he has an A in Spanish.
He got it from a D to an A?
Well, it just started the second semester, so it's only been a week, but yes, so far, he still has
awesome.
A D from the first semester, but now he has an A,
right.
And it was a D like 3 days ago.
Brilliant. That's got to make him feel just amazing.
Yeah, and just to, you know, tell his teachers, like, I'm right, you know, so now he's going to go talk to his English teacher where he has a lot of missing assignments.
Now, you guys have heard me say a million times that success breeds success, right? Well, that's a perfect example of it, because he tried something and it worked, and he saw that it worked for him, and so now he's going to use it again. It's a great, great story for that.
Yeah, I mean, I was, like, thrilled. I've been trying to get him to do this for years.
So what do you – well, we're not going to go into that because we've got to keep moving. So you're celebrating that he is taking some ownership.
Yes,
that's
and
great.
Self-advocating.
Self-advocating. Brilliant. Cool. Who else? What are we celebrating this week? And I do want to watch time a little bit because we started a little late today. So. Joan, Sandy, or Velma, what do you want to celebrate or check in on?
Okay, I'll say something.
Go.
So in Australia, it's the beginning of the school year last week. Because we just had our summer holidays, and I did a lot of work at the end of last year with my son's teachers, who he's going into high school this year, and really, really wanted his teachers to know what was going on for him, and did a fair bit of jumping up and down. And there actually was a meeting at the beginning of the year with all of his teachers so that they would all know what his issues are. And it was really good. So
you got a great start.
I've got a really, really good start, and he's been at school now for a week, and he's enthusiastic and happy.
Love
and
it.
He even said to him, "Oh, I think my English teacher understands me." He said, "I think you've been talking to my English teacher, Mum. I think my English teacher understands me." So that felt like a really great thing.
Well, what I love about that is not only does he feel understood and seen, but he recognizes the role that you played.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Rare, but brilliant. Mm. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I keep thinking. He did sit in the car and go, "Mom, I'm feeling good about school at the moment. It'll probably last about maybe until the Easter or something, but I'll probably start to feel bad after that."
Well, he's right, and that's great.
Oh, well.
You know, my big joke with one of my kids, with my son. My son is the kid who it used to be. So for us, the school year starts in August, September.
Mm-hmm.
And each year would be a bigger success if it was October and then November and then December before he would come to me and say, "I'm done. I'm just done."
Yeah.
And so the fact that he can now make it till February before he's just done is progress.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And I get that he's done.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we... you know, help him see that the progress is that he can last a little longer and a little longer. So, you know, maybe last year it was Easter. Maybe this year he'll make it to May, to the end of May, you know, or whatever it is. So, great. So, Sandy, what about you? quick
I have something. Sure. I have something similar to what you just heard is regarding grades and everything. My son is a junior, and he's had a really tough time with chemistry. And granted, a new quarter just started, but he came home and said, I have an A in chemistry. I mean, he had been failing it, really. And I have an A in chemistry. And he was so excited. And I was like, oh, my God, that's great. Because basically, I handed in everything. So it finally clicked, I think. Said, like, hey, that's a big part of it. So, I just tried to acknowledge that. I just said, oh, my God, that's awesome.
Right.
And see what happens. You need to hand it in and make sure you get those labs in. That's 40% of your grade. Just get them in. You know, that's the biggest part of it.
What I love about it, Sandy, is that you could tell him that for 5 years.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't make a damn bit of difference until he figured it out because he experienced it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And to see the joy on their faces, it's just priceless.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Awesome. Vilma, what about you? A lot of pressure here.
Yeah. No, actually, I can go along. I've got nothing but continued good news. I've been very happy that now that my 19-year-old daughter has part-time moved out of the house, and this week she was intending to come home on Wednesday. Now, I live about an hour away. Home is an hour away from school and her apartment now. And she called up on Wednesday and said, I've got to do XYZ homework tonight and it's due tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I think I'd be better off not driving the extra 2 hours and spending it on homework instead. And I went,
music to my ears.
I said, planning? Oh, my God, that's fabulous. Of course. And this is... She started out the conversation by saying that was so sweet. She said, I'm sorry to disappoint you that I think I won't be coming home tonight. I'm like, yes, you are so sweet. So, yes.
You have no idea that I'm going to have popcorn and bonbons for dinner.
Actually, I had plans to go to the movies with friends, but I never told her.
I love it. Awesome. All right. I want to be mindful of time and make sure we have time for the conversation today. So I'm going to ask you guys to do a quick take aim if you feel like there's something you know you want to take aim on. And if you feel like you need help coaching around it, let me know. But we're going to try to sort of laser it. Okay. So, Amy, do you have a sense of where you'd like to take aim this week?
Not specifically. So go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Sandy, what about you? She's got us on mute.
I do.
Maya,
sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Sandy.
I'm actually debating that between the two kids. I would say for my son, it's to just try to keep it up like that, the beginning of the semester, doing well in chemistry, just try to keep it up to make sure.
Remember, take aim is what's the change you want to see? So is it how you respond to him, his work? Is it encouraging him in it? Like what's, because there's nothing you can do about whether he keeps it up or not.
Right. I guess it would be my encouraging and acknowledgement and things to say, hey, just to say, keep it up. And if you, check that Power School, which is the online tool that they have.
So just focus on being his cheerleader.
Yeah.
Your focus is cheerleading. Okay. All right. Let's for the moment. Normally, I would want to get a little more specific, but let's go with that, just in the interest of time today. Maya, what about you?
I'd like to see a continuation of him talking to his teachers more and just taking ownership and all of his classes, so that I don't have to do it so much and send emails to all the teachers.
So what I'm hearing is sort of transferring some of the responsibility of advocacy to him.
Yes, and you're right, him to be more independent at school with schoolwork.
Right. So, and that may mean like actually sitting down and letting him know what you do to advocate for him, or finding out what his experience was like. There's a lot of things that could come up from that, but the change that I hear you pointing to, and it's a bit macro, but I think it's appropriate for where you are, is to start thinking about how do I transfer ownership on this area from me to him.
Yes.
Does that resonate?
That sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And Joan, quick take aim.
I think for me, it's about just staying really positive as possible.
Great.
And encouraging this positive feeling that we've got at the moment. Working with the strengths probably.
So staying positive is a place, is sort of an energy or a change that you want to stick with. It's like keeping a positive energy going on.
Yes. Great. Because I think there's a risk that I can get really worried, and that my worry then transfers and makes everything feel a bit, raises anxiety, and I'm kind of anticipating where it's probably going to go wrong any minute. But I'd like not to do that. Yeah.
So I think I'm hearing staying positive and optimistic.
And optimistic, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, and playing to strengths is a valid place to focus, but it's really more of a strategy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. And Vilma, what about you?
Acknowledging small successes of processing her process. Small successes in her process. For example, when she doesn't procrastinate, that kind of process thing.
Okay. Got
acknowledging
it.
That.
Specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. So that she can feel free to talk about it and try to solve it on her own, but talk about it. I need to figure out a better way to just acknowledge.
So here's what I'm going to say. Acknowledging it is a strategy, but what you want is to create an open dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Around
which is based on being positive about what she's done so far, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that there's openness to converse, right?
Right. So the take aim is to create an open dialogue around her process. And there's ways to do that, which is positivity and acknowledgement, and there are other pieces to it. But the vision is to keep having that open communication.
Yes, yes.
Great.
Right. You put it
well. Amy, can I check back in with you one more time?
Yes, but nothing's changed.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to talk about acknowledgement and validation. And I want to start by saying that Diane and Jeremy and I have had some interesting conversations about this before we had this call this week. Because what we were hearing from parents was some feedback that there was a sense that acknowledgement meant showing appreciation for our kids. It's almost like gratitude, saying thank you. And what we mean here is actually not that. It's always good to acknowledge what they're doing well and to reinforce their positive behaviors and find them, catch them being good and play to their strengths and all of that. Those are all great things to focus on. But what we really mean here in this part of Parenting Positively, when we talk about acknowledgement and validation, is about putting ourselves in our kids' eyes, looking at the world through their lens, and acknowledging for them what their experience must be like. Is seeing them and letting them feel seen and heard and listened to, as if you really do get what's going on for them. Not that you're saying yes, but, or redirecting them or saying yes, and you still need to do this. But that it's really about recognizing what their experience is like and helping them see that you really do get it, and you recognize when it's hard or when it's challenging, and validate that it's hard or challenging or difficult or a major achievement to go from a D to an A or, whatever that success is for them. You do want to acknowledge it and recognize it and celebrate it. But this goes beyond celebration and into that place of really helping our kids, it builds a lot of trust for them to know that we get them. So we bring curiosity to what's going on. We imagine what it must be like for them. The example in the workbook, is, if I recall, is something like, it was really nice of you to do that for your sister. When you know that this is a kid who struggles with keeping his hands to himself, right, and not hitting. It was really nice of you to do that. I know that sometimes it can be really frustrating for you. Or acknowledgement could show up as, so the example with your son and not turning in assignments, to acknowledge that it is really cool that you turn in the assignments and you can see the results, and it's got you wanting to come up with a way to remember to turn in your assignments. I know it's really hard for you to remember that sometimes, and I know it's frustrating when you don't get the grade you know you deserve, which is very different from if you had just turned in your papers, you would have gotten the grade you deserved, right? But that acknowledgement and validation approach says, it recognizes that there's a reason he couldn't turn in the homework. And it wasn't that he was doing it willfully or in a naughty way. And that to say, wow, that is hard for you, and look what you did. It's so cool that you were able to figure out a way to get it turned in. And now that it's important to you, you're finding a way to continue to turn it in, right? For every example, for every celebration you guys brought to the table today, there is a story about what was hard for your child to do, what you acknowledged was difficult for them, and your acknowledgement and ability to validate what they're going through gives them the impetus to keep doing it, to keep wanting to do it for them, not for you. And that's really the shift here. It's about climbing into their head and looking at the world from their eyes, and sometimes giving them language that they may not have. You know, that's why we do so much executive function work with these kids, to help them see what is hard for them and why it is that they're not just lazy and they're not stupid, and, you know, that there's a reason that it's challenging and that they have to learn to manage it. And if they get that we get them, sort of like what your son said, Joan, my teacher really gets me, you must have been talking to her, right? So he knows you get him. And that's huge. And that's really what we mean when we talk about acknowledgement in this context is to really, you've heard me talk about the ACE process, right? Acknowledgement plus compassion, and then you get to problem solving. Well, this is that A in acknowledgement and validation, right? We sort of group them together a lot. Because that's really the first step in connecting, and it's the first step in any process of problem solving or redirection. You always want to start by letting them know that you get where they're coming from at some level, or not, or saying it must be really hard when it feels like nobody understands you, even me. That could be an acknowledgement, right? So I'm going to stop and sort of open up and say, so what's coming up for you guys in terms of what is acknowledgement to you? Is this resonating? Is there something else that you see or do? I mean, it's very clear in all of your celebrations that you guys have already started to use this process. So what are you noticing?
Hey, this is Amy. Mm-hmm. So as you were describing the difference between the two, it sounds to me that the acknowledgement validating you're talking about puts a feeling with the behavior. Is mm-hmm. that kind of what separates, differentiates, from acknowledging as in recognizing and celebrating the behavior, whereas this acknowledging and validating recognizes a feeling around that behavior?
I think it's a yes and. I think it's a really good observation, and you're absolutely right that there is part of this is about helping them understand and see and connect to feelings they may not be aware of. You know, they know they're frustrated, but do they know why? Do they know it's because it's really hard for you to talk to a teacher? You know, And so there's, I think it is tying the behavior to maybe not as much feeling, but to the challenge that they experience.
Okay.
Or the gift. You know, I mean, sometimes you may be acknowledging, it's so amazing that it seems like math comes so easily to you and you're so fluid with it. That has just got to feel great. You know, because you may have a kid who thinks she's probably good at math but doesn't really know for sure. So I definitely think it feeds into feelings and it sort of links feelings and behaviors. A really great point. I have to think about it more. What does anybody else think?
Well, for me, I think it's like you said, instead of saying, like, remember to turn in that paper and just kind of being the nag, then it kind of, well, for once again, I think it like kind of shifts the burden to him and, you know, but I'm acknowledging how hard it is for him and then, but I'm not lecturing him and telling him what to do. So I think maybe acknowledging it will like empower him, hopefully, so that, I mean, it did, you know, he saw the results and then he wants to keep doing it. And so I think it's a little different than just like telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, because this is about transferring ownership, right? We want to slowly, I interviewed somebody today, the term he used was fading dependence. We want to fade out their dependence on us.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And acknowledgement is a powerful way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledgement is also recognition. I was just thinking about, I have used, since my kids were fairly little, and it probably started after I started coaching, but when I ask my kids to do something and I want to know that they've heard me or recognize or whatever, I'll say acknowledge, and they'll say, yeah, I got it, acknowledge. So, or some variation of, can you acknowledge? I will actually ask to be recognized that they heard it. And it's funny to me that it's the same, that I use the same word, but somehow it's neutral. It takes away any, it doesn't have that same sense of, did you get it? Did you hear me? You know, it's mm-hmm. there's a acknowledge, I got it, Mom, acknowledged. And it's fun. I never really thought about it until this moment. Yeah.
What's interesting is that I caught my daughter saying that to me.
Ooh.
Acknowledge. You know, she'll say something, I'll just kind of take it in. She says, acknowledge.
Awesome.
So it means a lot, I guess, coming both ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's not, in that respect, it's a fairly neutral term. But when you use it to show someone that you hear the feeling, not the behavior, but a feeling, right? That's that
uh-huh.
distinction you're making, Amy. There's something really deep about it. You know?
Well,
and
I think
in coaching,
really
we're taught to acknowledge. Go ahead.
It's relationship building, you know?
Yeah.
This is what our relationship is based on. I get you.
Yeah. I see you.
Mm-hmm. I see you. Mm-hmm.
It's a way of expressing love.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. In coach training, they teach this tool of acknowledgement, and some people really struggle with it because it feels artificial at first. And you really, it takes a minute to learn how to sort of authentically share with someone what your experience of them is. That's really, I guess, what they mean by acknowledgement. It's to, I see that you are who you are in some capacity, whether it's the feelings or the behaviors. And to be able to express that and share that with someone so they feel seen is a very powerful thing to do. And when you can do it authentically, and that's the key, is to not, you don't want to make it up. I mean, you know, a couple of you I've worked with, you know, when I start coaching with someone, I always say, I'm going to share with you what I see, what my truth is. And you can count on me to always share with you my truth, what I see. I may not be right, but I'm always going to be authentic and honest about what I see. And so I think there's an authenticity to acknowledgement that kids get. When you really see them, they get it. when you really feel for their struggle or their experience or how hard it is for them, they get it.
I think also particularly our kids, complex kids, feel misunderstood so often.
Mm-hmm.
As a, just a basic sort of ingredient of their lives, of at least my daughter's life. It's like she feels misunderstood all the time. So acknowledging that you get her or you understand and that you validate the reality she sees by acknowledging it.
Yeah.
It's not the end of
how much
conversation, but it is the beginning.
Exactly. It is the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? That's the key. You think about how much harder it is. Like, you know, I've never run a marathon, and I assure you I never will. But I can imagine if I didn't have somebody cheering me on those last couple of miles, it'd be really hard to get through it. If someone wasn't there saying, you can do this. I see what you're doing and you can do this. I see that it's hard, right? It's not just about the hard, but I do think that's a piece that we forget. Now, somebody was talking this morning about their kid, you know, saying to your kid, don't always do your best. And what I was offering was, you know, the thing is, sometimes they are doing their best. It's just not what we want it to be yet. But it's the best that they can do at that moment sometimes. So what else is
there? Yeah, and I was just going to build on that and say, you know, when you acknowledge it, like the way you're explaining it, then, you know, maybe you do really understand how hard it is for them because, you know, we're all caught up with being busy in our jobs and taking care of all of our kids. But if you look at each kid then and you acknowledge it, at least, you know, I kind of did realize how hard it is for him to turn things in. Like I was always thinking, just turn it in. You know, what's the problem? But he has to put his name on it. And then, you know, the teacher has so many lots of times. It's just, it is harder for him than I realize. So I think when I acknowledge it and validate it, I'm thinking, wow, like something that I guess I take for granted is really hard for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that happens in our community a lot. There's so much that we have, that we take for granted, that we do every day in our lives, that's like climbing a hill for our kids. What else are you noticing?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thinking about just how if I acknowledge things that are difficult for my son with his learning, then sometimes that helps him acknowledge it for himself instead of being quite so hard on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just thinking particularly about having just done the cognitive assessment thing that they do in schools at the beginning of high school to be able to then qualify because he's got dyslexia, and just the results of that showed that he has really advanced higher order thinking, and at the same time his reading skills and visual processing is like really way behind his peer group. But and his psychologist said to him something like, you know, you've got this amazing collection of ideas and knowledge in your head, but it's like getting it through a tiny little funnel because everyone expects you to be able to write what you need to, you know, there's this only one form for expressing what you've got
what
in
you
your
know.
Mind. And and that's really, really frustrating for you. And I was watching her do that, explain that to him, and it was like his whole body just went, oh, relax, or something. It's like, even though I might have said it to him, things like that, was the fact that this professional person who had done this assessment work and was really describing to him how smart he really is, and she had the evidence mm-hmm. for it, and how hard it is because of this skill that he struggles with, which is like having a broken leg or something, making it hard to play sport. But it just and describing in those terms, it was like that amount of acknowledgement. I think it just feels like a bit of a weight lifted off him somehow.
I bet it was.
Yeah, so I think that's what you're talking about.
it is, and I think it continues as they get older, like in different ways, like it manifests. Because as you were saying that, I was thinking about your 19-year-old daughter who's becoming independent and planning to say, I really need this time to get my work done, and how incredibly powerful that is that she's owning that, right? And so she's seeing what's possible. And I was having this conversation with my 19-year-old daughter this week, because she was going through a drop ad at university, and which is really, really stressful for kids with ADHD and anxiety, for starters, right? You know, I got to get the right class, and how do I get in the class? You know, it's a lot of a lot of logistics, a lot of moving parts. But part of what she had to recognize is that because she also has dyslexia, is that there were certain classes that there are a lot of classes she wants to take, but she is really not able to take multiple reading classes at one time and do well. Mm-hmm. And so she had to drop something and pick up something else. She had to rearrange some things because she had taken on too many classes with too much reading and writing. And she's a sort of math and science kid, and there's only so much of that because it takes her so much longer. And so she really needed me not only to sort of give her permission to see and understand that's real for her, but she really needed the acknowledgement piece about, wow, this is a really hard decision for you to make because you want to take all these classes. And, you know, and you have to come to terms sometimes with what your limitations are. And that doesn't mean she can't, but, you know, you can't do it all at one time and all that. But so it shows up in so many different ways. You know? Yeah. So anybody want to tackle any one of the issues you took aim on at the beginning or in the middle? Let's see whether this applies.
Well, if I may. This is Velma.
Sure.
So if acknowledgement and validation is the beginning of the conversation, taking the next step towards, you know, strategizing, what's the strategy for, okay, I've said, for example, that, you know, you did a terrific job not putting off this particular assignment or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I know it's hard. It's, you know, you stayed up extra late. That's just fabulous. You got it done. And how do I then turn it towards a, you know, modeling?
For how it could be different the next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so
without
a couple of things
being
come
nagging
up.
Then, or, you know, giving
right,
a lecture.
Right. So a couple of things come up. You know, I think about ACE, right? So acknowledgement and compassion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you're sort of there, and then you explore the options, right? So if what you're trying to say is she managed something well, but she could do it better the next time, I think that's what I'm hearing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
Or something else at the same time, you know.
Right. So
it's the chemistry class because you go on to finishing an assignment.
Right. Okay. So when you're acknowledging and validating what that experience is like, you can then move that forward into some questions. You get curious about what she's learned from it. So if you're acknowledging, it looks like you really put a lot of effort in and you figured out how much time it was going to take or whatever the logistic is to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you
mm-hmm.
learn from that?
Mm-hmm.
right? What did you learn from it? What worked for you when you did that?
Mm-hmm.
What supported you? What helped you do that? And remember, and we've talked about this before, you always want to start with what's working before you get to what's not working.
Yeah.
And then what would you do differently? But so what worked for you? What did you learn? What do you feel good about that you did? Go into that place of curiosity and help her explore the dynamic of what worked for her. And this works for all of them in almost any scenario, is when you can acknowledge if you want to pursue it with them, if it is about something, an achievement or a celebration, you know, is to say, wow, do you mind if we take a minute to talk about it? Because I think what you did was really great, and I want you to see what you did really well.
Yeah,
that they don't always see. You know, we forget
right.
to stop and look and reflect.
Yeah.
I see something you did really great. I want to make sure you see it. Can we take a minute? Are you willing? And so with the older ones especially, you've got to ask permission to have that conversation to some extent, right?
Yeah.
You want to invite her to invite you into the conversation with her to continue that dialogue, right? So, and that's what you were saying, you want to create an open dialogue around her process, right? So get curious about what she noticed about her process, what was conscious, what was unconscious, help her raise her awareness to it, right? And so instead of our tendency is to go straight to the solution, right? Well, this is what you did,
yeah.
so this is how you should do it there.
Yeah.
But the acknowledgement actually, as you say, it's the first step in the relationship. It opens the door to the conversation to invite them to step into ownership of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful.
Thanks. Got it.
Yeah.
It's slowing down.
Well, and
sure.
The question it is slowing down. The question that comes up for me, for you, Vilma, is it sounds like she's open or she's opening.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Opening, yeah.
So
yeah.
Can you see anything that you've done that's worked that you want to keep doing? You know, what's working for you? And in terms of keeping open communication with her. And this may be a place for you to journal or jot down some notes or something, but sort of what works for you and what doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What shuts her down?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really clear
your
intention is not to shut her down.
Self-reflective too, huh? Sheesh. Homework.
Yeah, I know. That's to be asked sometimes, isn't it? It's so funny. Diane and I were doing this Q&A for potential Sanity School people. And, you know, you want to say, okay, guys, this is about you doing the work without scaring people off. But it is about us doing the work. You know, we've got to be doing it too.
Yeah.
So let's do a little recap or you know, final four and see where this takes us. What does everybody feel like you were focusing on during the call today? And what's your aha? What are you taking away? And is there a commitment that you want to make to action? And Amy, is there a place that it's come clear to you that you want to take aim? And if so, what do you need to do to be successful with that? What do you want to do? So what are you focusing on and where were you taking? What was your aha? And somebody said, I'll go. That was who?
Oh, that was me, Maya.
Okay.
So I was thinking about, well, you helped me clarify, thinking about transferring ownership from me to him with schoolwork. And so I guess I will start to say, like, what works for you or I mean, so my son is 15 and he doesn't, unlike the other woman who was just talking, he doesn't really always want to talk to me. Like, he'd actually prefer not to. So mm-hmm. I guess I could say, like, but we do look at, you know, the website and say we have some missing assignments. So I could say, like, what worked for you last time or what did mm-hmm. you learn? I could say something like that. You think that might get him, instead of me saying, you know, are you handing in your stuff, like, just to get him to take ownership again. Maybe that will, like, jog his memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it sounds like you're talking about bringing attention more to his process instead of to the outcome.
Yes, right, the process, so that he can do it, you know, with every class, like, almost mm-hmm. the same thing, but, you know, just keep doing it, not do it once, and then that's it.
Right. Yeah. And that process for you, what worked, what didn't work, what do you want to do differently, would be really powerful.
Okay. And if he doesn't, like, if I say what worked for you, I don't know if he'll, you know, I guess he'll understand what that means.
Yeah, well, and you could say, because I noticed that you did this. Was that helpful or was it not? Or, you know, you can at the early stages, you can feed him a little bit of what you see, but be open to being wrong. You know, let him tweak it or change it and say, no, it wasn't that, it was this.
Okay, yeah. So,
and remember,
first
keep
I'll
the
say,
conversation
like,
short.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard for me because he's always like, okay, Mom, shut up now, you know.
Yeah.
So just say, I noticed this worked for you, and what did you learn? And then hopefully he will remember. And then just say, maybe you can do it again or something like that to kind of prod him.
Well, I wouldn't even say, instead of maybe you can do it again, you might say, so how do you want to use that? How, you know, how else can you see yourself doing that or using that?
Okay.
Where else do you think it might work? You know,
okay.
Is to the extent that we can keep them open so that they can figure it out instead of directing them too much in the direction of where we think they should go with it. Because it'd be really easy to say, wow, that worked for Spanish and English. You should really talk to your chemistry teacher, right?
Yeah.
But in this environment, it's like, well, if it worked so well in English and Spanish, where else could you see it being helpful?
Right. Okay. So then the commitment to action would just be having these conversations with him, you know, like when I notice that there are some missing assignments, like every few days.
Yeah.
And then,
well, yeah. Well, and you may ask him, he's at a place where if he's feeling good, you may ask him, how do you want me to support you in this? You want me to check it every few days? You want to talk about it once a week? What would work for you? You're doing such
yeah,
a good
that's
job.
Good.
How do you want me to support you in this? Instead of, okay, I'm going to check it every 3 days and we're going to talk, you know, like you can tell him what you're going to do. And you can ask him how what you do supports and helps him.
Okay. Yeah, that's better.
See what happens. Who else?
Okay.
What were you focusing on? What's your aha? What's your commitment?
Hey, this is Amy. I'll just take a second. So what Maya was just talking about really resonated with me as well, because something I'm struggling with or that's a priority is building that independence. And
mm-hmm.
so I just scribbled down a ton of notes here, and just the language and my approach, you know, everything being a question. And I know it goes back to that curiosity thing, but I think if I can really start to frame everything as a question, even to an extreme, maybe.
Yeah. And sometimes it'll make him crazy. You know that, right? I don't know.
Well, he's already on that path, so, you know.
Right.
But
that's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I would be cautious. I wouldn't be, you know,
I know
too much, but just maybe more in my mind, thinking of
mm-hmm.
The question.
And I love what you said about. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You love what I said about what?
Oh, what you said about not going straight to the solution,
mm-hmm.
which is just, you know, and asking him what's working, what's not, because I still struggle with jumping in there and trying to fix things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's so hard. I mean, Amy, understand, we all struggle with that because you see the quick, easy path. And you just want to save him the pain and yourself the pain of having him figure it out.
Yeah, but he's
so
got...
It makes sense that you feel that way, right? And long-term, it will serve you all to begin to
right.
shift that pattern. And the other thing I will say is yes to asking questions and be careful not to start leading the witness.
Yeah, I made a little note of that in my own words. But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Don't you think you should is not really an open question.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So what do you want to commit to?
Really engaging him in taking an active role in sort of looking at figuring out what's working and keep the focus right now on what's working, not what's not working.
Great. Awesome.
Okay.
I suspect he'll appreciate that greatly.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Okay.
You're well.
Thanks.
No, thank you. You're well. Joan, what about you?
I think for me, I'm just trying to work it out, but I think it's I think there's something that I really like about that whole thing of acknowledging what's hard and also appreciating how he's working in spite of it, like really successfully at the moment. So... yes, my kids were
yeah.
just going out the door this morning as we've been talking, and I just said to him, Lucas, I can see that you're completely ready already. That's amazing, because he was ready to go before his brother, and so I thought, oh, I'll just practice that right now.
Good for you.
He came up and gave me a big hug. He gave me this massive big
Aww.
Hug. And so I thought, right, that's good. So some of it's just,
yeah.
It's not the sort of thing, because he's so many times he's experienced, come on, hurry up, have you done this? Have you got your shoes on? Have you brushed your teeth? Where's your school bag? Have you got your computer packed? Blah, 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 you know, and instead just to be able to say, oh, wow, look at you, you're organized, was really
yeah.
nice. So I think I'd
yeah.
like to make sure whenever I, you know, see, not in an overboard ridiculous way, but just when I see that he's I like that language. I see you. I can see you. Look at you. And I think he'd really like me
yeah.
saying that, because I don't think he does get noticed for the good things that he does very often.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that away.
I love that. Well, and I have to tell you guys, I'm in the process of moving, so I've been going through my whole life and 20 years in this house. And one of the things I found with these notes that I had written on cardboard construction paper that I would, when the kids were little, that I would leave at their place at the table after they'd gotten out the door in the morning, and it would say, great morning, or super job today, or, you know, if they had a good morning, I'd leave them a little love note, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just sort of a little acknowledgement of what they had done well. So they'd get home from school, and there was a little message saying, you did great this morning. It was not
yeah.
too late to tell them that, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're just, you can do it in really little ways, but catch them being on target. That's great.
Yeah.
Sandy, what about you or Velma?
I was, I thought what, actually a lot of people talked about, very, very, very pertinent for me as well. I like
right.
what you're saying, like what, you know, what's working, obviously start always with that, the positive. And then, I've really got to work on the, you know, invite them to take ownership piece rather than just, you know, me jumping to solutions. And that's my biggest challenge with me.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people touched upon this, is the wording is really tricky sometimes with teenagers, you know. And you had mentioned before is, you know, where do they usually shut down? And that's, you know, if I can take it slowly and acknowledge the positive and then try to use a question there in terms of phrasing of how do you think you can use this? You know, like, hey, you know, you're doing great in chemistry. You know, how are you thinking? I don't know how to do it actually, but just, I don't want to feel so forced, you know, like,
and no, it's got to be authentic.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. How do you kind of keep it authentic and natural? I really got to work on the wording there.
Yeah, so play with it. And here's what I would offer you. And you know, I know you a little better than most. So what I would offer is lose the word how. And ask, so what do you want to do with this? Because you want them to tell you how, right? You want the process, the structure, the answer. And what we really want is to get them to start by just thinking about it, to peruse it, to ponder it. What do you think about that? Before you immediately bring them to solution, right?
Yeah.
We can't go straight to solution, but we don't want to bring them straight to solution either. Sometimes you want to just raise it and go, wow, it's really cool how you did that. What do you think about how that happened? And then a day or two later, come back and say, you know, what are you going to do with that? That really worked for you. What have you thought about how you might want to use it differently? But to be careful of the how, because it's a trick word for them. How and why are trigger words for kids, for teens especially.
Okay, that's great. That's
that
a great
is
point.
So true.
I had written down how. So you were right. It's immediately I'm thinking I'm so solution based. I immediately want to.
I know you. I know you. I mean, I love you. I know you. I know where you're going. And Zilma, what about you?
Yes. The how is a good reminder. It's true. It triggers. Just the idea of slowing down long enough to ask, do you mind if we take this up at some point and discuss this? Yeah, take a minute to figure out what worked for you, you know.
Yeah.
And then secondly, also, for me to now sit down and say, gee, what's been working for me? I can't bask in this. I'm thinking of it just, I'm having a respite. Things are going so well. I don't want to look at it twice, you know. But I think you're right. I have to look at it twice and figure out what's making this work for me.
There's a lot of joy in looking for what's working. It's a lot more fun than looking at what's not working. So yes, it's work and it's introspection, but it's also celebration.
Yeah.
Okay. This is when you get to pat yourself on the back and go, wow, look what I'm doing. Hey, you go me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to challenge you to share some of your go me's on the Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Now let us know. It's like, put a post up there that says, okay, what I'm doing right today. Or this is what I noticed that I've been focusing on, thinking about what I'm doing well or right, or, you know, what's going well for me. This is what I noticed. And then let's let other people chime in.
Okay. That gives me a structure.
Are you up for the challenge?
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, you're
welcome. You guys are awesome. You're so awesome. I love, love, love this group. I love working with you guys. Thank you for your candor and your honesty, and most of all for your commitment to yourself and to your kids. It's inspirational. So
thank you.
Have a great week. I think we have a Lifetime call next week, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Thank you, Lynn.
Signing off.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye.